moment I'll explain what the two sheets that you have in front of you, what they are, what they represent. But before, first of all, I want to extend the condolences of our entire group here to Jeanette Kirschenbaum, who lost her husband about a month before May. Her husband Shmuel Hashom, I'm working in a chemotherapy talk shop at the city of Shalayim, the facility of Darba Oath. Number two, because it's difficult to go from such an announcement to a very mundane one. The mundane one is, in the back of the room you'll see sets of tapes, like there are four tapes. Those that are about, those of you who may still remember what cassette tapes were like, there may even be those amongst you who have a working and functioning tape recorder. If so, you're welcome to purchase at a very symbolic cost of 20 shekel for four gold shiurim. There is no bargain like that. The time has come that we have, and the four shiurim are about Eretz Yisrael. One is Yerushalayim, the other Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the Kuzri and Eretz Yisrael. For 20 shekel, all proceeds go to Tzedakah. And I hope in coming weeks I'm going to have all sorts of singles of tapes, sure of all sorts, at 2 shekel a tape.
Wow.
It would be the biggest bargain you shall ever see since Bayit Rishon. There hasn't been anything like this. And it all goes to Tzedakah. It will, of course, assist me in having more room in my machsam to store other things there. And everybody benefits from it. I benefit, you benefit. Okay. I can't put it on the floor. Mrs. Gold, I don't have a set. I make 70 of each. Can I have a, please? The specific, I guess. Huh? They're right there in the back. You see them all? Ruben Ben Chaim said them up so neatly and beautifully there. All right, now. You may think, chapter 109 in Tehillim has 15 psukim in the middle that are so difficult to understand. Everybody, all of the Persian, have had difficulty going back to the Rishonim. They had difficulty. And you'll see soon what the difficulty is. I believe that we are in a very unique position to finally grasp the depth of David HaMelech and what he said in Tehillim. We're able to understand it without any difficulty at all. That's what I believe. And since I feel that I have finally understood the chapter, I want to share that with you. The chapter talks about enemies who cause great pain to David HaMelech. Great pain. David HaMelech usually is passionate, for sure, but reasoned, full of love, kindness, goodness, at times to the point of being so gentle. He's called, the Navi calls him the sweet singer of Israel, Ne'im Zimirot Yisrael, the sweet singer of Israel. In this chapter, he is going to unleash a tirade of curses. If you wouldn't know it's Dara Melech, Chas V'Shalom, you could think Epesit Tzara. Somebody from the street, his mouth pours out invective with such passion, with such rage, with such anger. Who's he talking about? What's happening over here? What all of a sudden happened to Dara Melech? The gentle, sweet, good, people cry their eyes out, saying Tillim. We say Tillim, we're a Tillim-saying people. I don't know what the people do when they get to this chapter. Maybe they don't have the meaning of all the words, so they're able to say it, but no, we're going to take a look and see what he's talking about. Well, not there. But by the way, that's why I made it on two pages. I couldn't get the Hebrew and the English on the same page. So at least like this, you can hold the two side by side, and you'll be able to follow if you want to follow with the English. Lamatzeh Udavid Mizrach. This was written a song that David sang for the conductor. Elokei Tehilati Al Teferash. The God whom I praise, do not remain silent. This is reminiscent, really, of one pasuk in Tillim. I think it's a pasuk that we should be familiar with, a pasuk in a chapter that we have said often over the past years, chapter 83, Shir Mizmor LaAsaf, Elokim Al Domilach Al Techerash Bal Tishkol Kel. God, do not hold yourself silent. Don't be deaf. Don't be still. Act. Only two places in Till where he says it's not chapter. Chapter 83. I will just remind you. It says over there, behold, all of your enemies are in uproar. Those who hate you have raised their head. They gathered against the Jewish people. They want to destroy, obliterate, remove from the face of the world your children. They have taken counsel together. And he lists all the nations: Edom, Yishmael, Moab, Agrim, Gvol, Ammon, Amalek, Plesheth, and Yoshev, Tzor. That's Perik Pei Gimel. And Dorah Therko says that they said that they want to destroy us. They are going to inherit and take Eretz Yisrael. And he tells the Rebbe Yishon, you better take action against them. That's a great parrot. It's the parrot that we've been saying for years, parrot taking. The only other place where Daranel says, Rebbe Yishon, don't remain silent. By the way, the word al teferash can also mean like deaf. Don't be deaf to what's happening. Listen to what's happening. You have to respond. You have to act. Shomu shamayim, Rebbe Yishon. Terrible things are happening. Kifi Rosho, back to 109. Kifi Rosho, Ufi Mirmo, Olai Potoku. Because the mouths of the evil and the mouths of the deceitful Olai Potoku, they have opened their mouths against me. Dibru iti lishon shaker. They have spoken about me words that are untrue, lies, all lies. P. Rosha is the one who says it openly. The Rosha is open, straight. The Zionist entity must be destroyed by a nuclear device. P. Mirma. There are others who speak in deceitful words. They may even try to leave you with the impression that they're really your friend. They may even walk out when they hear such terrible things said. Doesn't mean they're your great friends. Don't make a mistake. If you had this feeling this morning as though, wow, a great blow
a great blow for Klal Yisrael took place yesterday. I want to know which one of the 20 countries that walked out is going to lift a finger to save Klal Yisrael. Guaranteed, not a one. I think you're getting the gist of why I'm learning this parable. And as we go through it, I got like, and then there's, so Myanmar, Russia, is the one who says it openly. Myanmar is the one who play acts as though he's my friend, but behind my back, wow, what he is planning against me. Wait a minute, how many countries there are, and how many of those who walked out are doing business with Iran? How many of those who walked out are providing Iran with all sorts of needed raw materials in order to make the bomb to joke? Dibru itim shon sheket, they speak to me lies. There are those who talk to me like they're friends, but they're not friends. The dibrei sino sibovuni, I'm surrounded by words of hatred. I'm surrounded by words of hatred. Fayim lachamuni, and they're waging war with me, chinom, for nothing. I didn't do anything to them. I didn't do anything to them. What did we do to Iran? What did we do to Iran? What did we do to Lebanon? What did we do to Egypt? We didn't do anything to any of them. They're waging and surrounded. The idea of surrounded leaves the impression that it is global. Why did David HaMelech know what he was talking about? Now I will tell you, there are different approaches as to whom is he addressing these remarks. So there are Mepharshim who say that there were a group of people around Shaul HaMelech who despised David, and they brought all sorts of evil reports about him. We know about Achitophel, we know about Doeg Ardoni, but I believe that would be missing the point if we would say that David HaMelech is talking about a few of the people close to Shaul. You'll see later when the invective and the curses begin. I can't believe that David HaMelech would ever have said that about fellow Jews. Not shaykh that he would have said it, I'll prove it. Remember, as far as fellow Jews is concerned, we always say, Yitamu hatoim min haaretz u'rishoyim od einam, the end of Barchinafshi. Yitamu, let sin be removed from the world, and then there will no longer be wicked. We don't pray for the suffering or the punishment of the sinners. We pray that their sin is forgotten from them. But here, divrei sinos vavuni, they've surrounded me with hatred, words of hatred, and they wage war with me for naught. Tachat ahavati, in place of the love that I have shown them, yistununi. They hate me. Anit filah. I was or I am prayer. What could he mean over here? I think what came to me first is there's a famous word from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim said, if the nations of the world would know how we pray for them on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we pray for a whole world, you know what they would do? They would buy every Jew a matzah for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We pray for a whole world. We pray for prosperity for a whole world. We pray for peace. We pray for the removal of all evil from the face of this earth. We pray for a whole world. Rashi, of course, brings the Gemara that says that on Sukkot there were 70 bulls that were brought as sacrifices. The sacrifices were brought in the Bet HaMikdash for all the nations of the world. We prayed for them on Sukkot. Anybody who reads the dedications speech
the inaugural speech of Shlomo HaMelech at the Chanukah HaBayit of the Beit HaMikdash, he says, the Beishim listened to everybody's prayers, the Gamet HaNochni, even the stranger from wherever he may come in the world, and he comes to this house, let his prayer be heard by you. We always were concerned about the nations of the world, so tachat ahavati, in place of the love that I express, yisvenuni, they hate me, vani, I pray for them. I pray for them. David HaMelech is going to be terribly, terribly upset by the betrayal. The betrayal. We never meant anyone any harm. We never harmed anybody. And we can't figure out why do they hate us. Vayosimu alai ro tachatoba, they placed upon me their evil in place of the good that I did for them. That's in the Nevi'im, you see the idea of Mishalem ro tachas toba, the one who repays goodness, the one who repays goodness with evil. That's the worst kind of betrayal. All right? The Me'iri, one of the Mishalem. I'll read a little bit. Yesh Mefarshim, there are those who explain that this capital on Tilim was composed by David when he was fleeing and hiding before Shaul. The Chavru al Anoshim ben Ebal b'Leit Yom, and there were evil people who brought all sorts of reports to Shaul. Mevim di Batoga al Shaul, they brought evil reports about David to Shaul. Mitzad Hayosam Rishoyim Ubenei Nifalim Gam Kain. So it says, these people have to be destroyed. When we come up and he says, Ef Shalot Fadesh, you can't explain this whole capital in Tilim, Al Hagolos Ha'oruch Hazer, on this long exile, Shekama B'nei B'liyal, Mishasim Banu Et HaMakashim, there are many who sick the snakes against me, Umar beats Malaymat Haragot, and bring the lions against us. In other words, all of the hatred that's been poured out against us in all of the years of our exile, Lule Hashem Shahayolam, if not that God was with us, Lahatos Hasodov Elenu, that he inclined his kindness toward us. That God gave us the ability to live even in our enslavement of the Golos. And then he also says, so he's saying, this is not talking about that group of jealous people who surrounded Shaul. They're unworthy of this kind of invective from David HaMelech. We're talking about people that really deserve it. People who have incited the world against us. People who have said they are going to destroy and obliterate us from the face of this earth. That's who we're talking about. Now, if you keep in mind that that's who we're talking about, the only way you can understand the 15 psukim of Kulomo that are going to begin now. I could never have believed that David HaMelech would have said this about fellow Jew, regardless of how evil they may be. Maybe subject for another shiur, because if I go into this, I don't know how far I'll go. We daven Shmona Esrei three times a day. 18 brachas, but there weren't 18 brachas. There's a 19th. That was sort of inserted there in the middle, but we sort of make believe that it doesn't exist. There are 19 brothers in Shmona Esrei, but we have never changed the name of Shmona Esrei to Tisha Esrei or Tisha Esrei. Which brother is that? That's the brother of Al-Shim Al-Hitikva. For those who speak evil against us, there shall be no hope. Now,
that's one of the brachas in Shmona Esrei. You don't have to know the meaning of every word. You just get the feeling. Destroy, obliterate, crush. I'm afraid to tell you that that bracha was composed sometime around the first century, and that bracha was really composed against Jews who had become enemies of their people, the early Christians, and all sorts of others. And how the Gemara describes with what difficulty that bracha was composed and how it was put into the Shmona Esrei. To put invective of that sort into the Shmona Esrei was one of the most difficult things the Beit Din Sanhedrin of Gamaliel in Yavne had to do, to go ahead and include that bracha. And I think that they wanted the bracha hidden. They didn't change Shmona Esrei to Shai Esrei, because it's there. But we don't want it sort of to be staring in the face. But it was with great pain. There was terrible pain involved in having to include such a bracha in Shmona Esrei. Here, Dora Melch is not talking about Jews. Dora Melch now is talking about, and it's not only him, which is the other portion, not only in Erie, that we're talking about the enemies of the world. I say, I understood the 15 psukim of Klola better in the last few days than I ever understood it. Here it is. The nations of the world are gathered in Geneva, and the purpose of this whole is a replay of a previous gathering of the nations of the world to spew out hatred. So the one positive thing to come out of Durban 2 is, I understand the Perek in Tehillim, and you can understand it too. Pasuk 6. Here Dara begins to say what's on his mind. Hafkeid olav rasha. Hafkeid olav rasha. Appoint a wicked man over him. What Daranel says, you know what? You get a clone, or an even worse, Ahmadinejad, Yimach Shemo. Now those two words are going to be very important. Appoint an Ahmadinejad over Ahmadinejad. Let him have to contend with somebody as evil or more evil and more sugar than he is. The Satan Yamod Hayimino. On his left, he'll have one guy attacking him, and on his right, he's going to have a Satan, one who expresses hatred toward him. Bishavto, when he's going to be judged, Yetzei Chasha, he shall emerge guilty. Utfilato Tehiyeh L'Chataat. And whatever prayer he prays should miss the mark. Miss the mark. It's going to get worse. Now we're getting down to business. Yiyu Yom of Ma'atim, his days shall be few. Pekudato Yikach Acher. Pekudato means that which he is in charge of. He is a mefakeh. His job shall be taken by somebody else. Yiyu Bom of Yitomim. It just sounds like real street clothes, you understand? His children should be orphans, Ishtar, his wife should be a widow. And his sons shall have to travel from place to place to beg for food. And they're going to reach such a low point in their lives that they're going to have to seek out aid and assistance from the ones whom they wanted to destroy. According to that shot in this passage, Ahmadinejad, you understand, if he lives long enough, is going to come begging Israel. Beg Israel. I hope they don't give him a thing. Yenachim Shno Shelecha Shalom. I had a shot this next passage, and also it was confirmed this morning. Yenakesh Noshev. A hitnak shud is when somebody attacks somebody else. Or Yenakesh can come from the word Pach Yokush, the trap. That's what's going to catch him is Noshev, the one he owes money to. Yenakesh Noshe L'chol HaShelo, those to whom he owes money are going to walk off with everything that is his. V'yavozu Zorin Yigio, strangers, foreigners, are going to steal from him the spoils of Yigio. Yigio is all that a man worked for. Yigia Kapecha Kitochal, that which he worked for. There was an item. There was an item in the paper this morning, I posted it there. It's amazing when you can learn till together with the Jerusalem Post. I mean, this is something. I think it was on that 4 or that 6. One of said that the world financial crisis may cause great problems for Iran in their attempt to make the bomb. So I thought, first of all, Yenakesh Noshev L'chol HaShelov is going to owe money, who knows what's going to happen. And at least finally, one glimmer of maybe the Rebbeinu Shlomo had precisely that in mind. I hadn't been able to understand the financial downturn. Torah institutions are suffering. Jewish poor are suffering. People are unemployed. What good can come out of this whole crash that has changed the face of the world? Maybe a little glimmer. Who knows?
I want to read something to you. There's one thing that I want to read that I believe I read in the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha here. Then there's another quote that I didn't read there. I'm going to read it now. This is from a great book, The Faith of Judaism by Isidore Epstein. And there's a chapter here on God, not only as the creator, but God is also the architect of history. God is involved in history. So first he just brings a quote, this is just to make you feel good. The late Dean Inger, none too friendly to the Jewish people, writing in 1940, at the very height of Hitler's triumphs, declared, "The Jews have stood by the graves of all their oppressors in turn. They may yet say to their latest persecutors, the feet of them that buried Assyrians, Babylonians, Greeks, Romans, and Spanish inquisitors are at the door and shall carry thee out." We're at the door. We're going to carry Ahmadinejad also out. This is all part of a, I see a great quote that I have, not underlined, highlighted. A fellow, John McMurray, who wrote to a book called The Clue to History, says the following: "Jewish reflection thinks history as the act of God, where our historians say Caesar crossed the Rubicon, or Nelson won the Battle of Trafalgar, the Jewish historian says, God brought his people up out of the land of Egypt." What a difference. But here, this is the one lesson and only one. History may be said to repeat with distinctness. One lesson and one lesson alone. And that is that of the prophets. That the world is built somehow on moral foundations, that in the long run it is well with the good, in the long run it is ill with the wicked. But this is no science. It is no more than the old doctrine taught long ago by the Hebrew prophets. History is a voice forever sounding across the centuries the laws of right and wrong. Opinions alter, manners change, creeds rise and fall, but the moral law is written on the tablets of eternity. For every false word or unrighteous deed, for cruelty and oppression, for lust and vanity, the price has to be paid at last. Not always by the chief offenders, but paid by someone. Justice and truth alone endure and live. Injustice and falsehood may be long-lived, but doomsday comes at last for them, in French revolutions and in other terrible ways. The only added word that I can say over here is that history now works far more quickly than it did in the past. If it took Rome, I don't know how many hundreds of years until it came collapsing, and Greece and others, then it started, Hitler, you know, actually did enough trouble in his time for hundreds of years, or thousands of years. Soviet Russia lasted 70 years. That's not a lot in terms of history. There are other smaller Rishonim that have passed through this way and on the longer. I hope that there's a fast forward in history going on now. I don't want to sound like a prophet of old, but I think we may be seeing a lot happening in the next little while. Let's go back to the close. Avihilo Moshe Chesed. He shouldn't have anybody that's going to do kindness for him. What did he say so far? His life should be short. All his wealth should go to somebody else. Whatever he amassed shall be taken by others. His children shall be a slain. His wife, Almana. His children, whatever remain, shall have to go and beg for sustenance. Let the debtors come, the creditors come down upon him. Ayihilo Moshe Chesed, and he shouldn't have anybody that will extend him any kindness. No kindness from anybody. And nobody should give grace to his orphans. Yehi achriso la'achrit, his end, his future generations, everything should be destroyed. You heard Rabbi Adler at the end of the shiur, he said, well, those 1.5 million children were never given the opportunity to have children. They were cut short completely. The punishment for that is his end, his future, should be cut completely. B'dor acher, in the next generation, yimach shemam. I cannot for the life of me believe that David HaMelech would have said about fellow Jews, yimach shemam. These two words are to me proof that he is talking about the Ahmadinejads, etc., etc., of our time and of previous times. There's the famous story. There's the famous story about somebody who, in the presence of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim. He was one of the antagonists to Rav Kook, even though they did a lot of great things together. But he was the rabbi of the extremists in Yerushalayim of the day. And somebody in his presence once made a remark, Herzl, Yimach Shemayim. He shuddered and he turned. And he turned to this fellow who said it, and of course the fellow who said it thought that he was going to find favor in the eyes of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. So he turned to this fellow and he said to him, listen, tell me, what will happen if Herzl dies without children?
and he has a brother.
What's the halacha if a brother dies without children and he has a living brother? A living brother, does he have to do the act of yibum on his wife? Yes or no? Tell me what the halacha is. This poor fellow, the other son of his family, wanted to dig a hole, and he said, yeah, he has to marry Herzl's wife. Ah, he says, but the Torah says, why should he marry Herzl's wife? So that there should be a name. There should be a name for him forever. The Hayit. By Hayit, you can't say Imam Shemai. Dara would never have said this about Doeg or Achitofel or the others. He's talking about the Hitlers of all generations. That's what he's talking about. This is, to me, absolute proof. Yizacher Avonov Avotav Hashem, let the sins of his fathers be remembered to God. V'chatas imo al timach, and the sin of his mother shall not be erased. Yiyuneged Hashem tamid. You know, the word tamid appears a few times. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. I place God before me constantly. That's what Dorabar says. Here he says, Yiv Negar Hashem Tomit, his sins should be constantly before God. V'yachreit me'eret zichran, and God should destroy from the earth any memory of them. Nothing shall remain of them. He's talking about Jews. He's talking about the Chevre Semei Yisrael that we know so well. I don't know if you read, if you still have the magazine section of the Jerusalem Post, there was an article by Sarah Honig. What an article. She describes the atmosphere in the world of the 30s, and she describes how what's going on in the world today is far, far worse than the 30s. It's in the 30s, it was, so you had a Hitler in Europe, and you had a Henry Ford in America, and Father Coughlin, and then you had a few big savings in America. That's why I'm very upset. You know, General Motors is collapsing. Ford is still going strong. Somebody has to let the memory of Henry Ford's anti-Semitism be erased. You remember Henry Ford? By the way, there was a little bit of a, there is a shtickle, Nekama. There was an article, by the way, you should know, the reading, the outside reading of Sergeant Torah takes up a very small amount of my time. I do it quickly. There was an article on Detroit in Time magazine this week. They showed pictures of vast tracts of land in Detroit. Looks like the Second World War. A third of the city is in ruins, rubble. The chance that it will ever be rebuilt again, I mean, that was the city that Ford built. Oh. It's a horror. It's an atom. Gotta see those pictures. It's like a landscape of the moon. What vast tracts of land in Detroit or all that. So you know, the version, his judgment is better than mine. I mean, I'm sure he knows well. I don't have to tell him. Ya'ana shelo zocha asos chesed, because he did not remember to do kindness. By Yirdov, and he pursued, you know who he pursued? Ish'ani ve'evyon. A poor people, you understand. She'is ha'pleto, s'ridei ha'shoah. Who is he pursuing? Ish only v'nevyo, the poor and the poverty stricken. And more than that, v'nich'ei le'vav, a people with broken hearts, levotate to kill them. That's who he's starting up with. He's starting up with a nation of broken hearts. That's exactly how I feel during the course of the 2 minutes of the siren. You begin to think very, very, very what happened over there. We're a people of broken hearts, and
that. I think maybe the worst thing is he doesn't even want to acknowledge or admit that we have reason for broken hearts. It never happened. We made it up. Unbelievable. That's also probably the unkindest cut of all. Limotate, in order to kill him. Vayehev Klola. He loves cursing. There are two shots in it. He loves cursing. He gets up there every time and he says, this country has to be destroyed and wiped off the face of this earth. And it is not shot that says, Vayehev, he seems to be tempting the fates. He wants to do such evil, he doesn't think he's going to be cursed for it. And you know what? If that's what he wants, that's Boebo. Let it come upon him. He doesn't want the blessings of a people of Israel who daven for the world. You know what? Let blessing be far from him. And now he describes the descriptive use of words is so beautiful. He's going to describe how cursing and hating is so much a part of this enemy of ours. It fits him. It suits him. By Yilbash Klolok Mado, he cloaked himself in curse, just like his garment. It fits him to a T. But more than that, Vatovo Mayim Bikivo, it's like water that's come into him. It's not only an outer shell of this human being that's all hatred. It's like water that's come into him. The Hashemen Bar Smosa, it's like good oils that go through his bones. He lives from this. He enjoys it. He revels in cursing and in hating. Right? You understand why David HaMelech said, Yemach Shemai? Those are terms that are not used lightly. Tehilo Kebeged Yate. You know what? If this is what he wants to clothe himself with, you know what? Tehilo Kebeged Yate, let it be to him like a garment that covers him. Ulemeizach Tomid Yachgeleha, and like a belt that girds him, sticks to him. Zot Pulat Sotnai. These are the things. These are the things that are done by my enemies. These are the things that are done by my enemies before Hashem. Vadovrim ra al nafshi, and those who speak evil about me. By the way, in this whole chapter, he doesn't talk about the evil that the enemy has done to him. He talks only about the evil that the enemy has expressed. It's all verbal. It's all verbal. Could it be a better example of exactly what we're talking about? He's not talking about anybody who has killed or built concentration camps. The evil words that are being said, manish a description of Geneva. Ato Hashem, Ato Elokim Hashem, Asei Iti L'man Shevecha. Now you have to understand one thing that could be lost as we learn the parak. Do you know how we express our revulsion? We express our revulsion. You see, there's not much we can do. Those who can do something about it definitely have a responsibility to do something about it. And I believe that those people who can do know what to do and are planning what to do. But we're the common folk right now. We're up against You know what we do? We can fight words with words. We can fight the evil words that are being said throughout the world by a capital tibbon. I just wanted to suggest that you should say capital cuff test every day. Wow. This is how we fight. Midah k'neged midah, measure for measure. Do for me for your name. Because what they talk against Klal Yisrael is talking against God. That's a chilul Hashem. Because your kindness is good. Hatzileini, save me. Ki oni ve'evyon anokhi. I am the oni ve'evyon. A few psukim earlier, we had said in Pasuk 16, we had said, Vayirdov ish oni ve'evyon. He pursues the one who's poor and poverty stricken. I'm the oni ve'evyon. V'libi cholol v'kirbi. It also said over there, broken hearts. My heart is dead within me because of what he's saying. The fear that it engenders. Who knows what's going to happen? Kitzeo. Kinetoto, Neharachti, Ninarti Karbe. I believe he's describing a person who seems to be shuffling along like a shadow, maybe a shadow of a human being. I'm thinking, when I read this passage, I'm thinking the pictures of Jews when the concentration camps were liberated, they saw apparitions. I'm reading another book now of the first impressions of American and British troops when they came into the camps. The horror, unbelievable description. Could say it like a shadow of a human being. Kinetoto nehalachti. I walked like, it's not me that's moving, it's just sort of my shadow is moving. Ninarti, I sort of was moved, carved like a locust. Any little thing can get me shaking and fluttering. Birkai koshlumi tzom. Think of the concentration camps. Birkai. My knees were weak from fasting. Ubisarai Ubsari Kochashmi Sholem. The emaciated bodies. Bisarai. My flesh became lean without fat. Only saw bones. Vaniyayiti Kherpolahem. I was shameful from before them. By the way, there were many who couldn't look. They couldn't take it. Soldiers walked out. Yiruni, Yindiyun Roshan, they see me. And they just shook their heads. They were horrified by what they saw. That's me. That's what I went through. And he wants to do this again? Ozrei Hashem Elokai, help me, God my God. Hoshiei, save me, kechazdecha, as your kindness. V'yedu, but we want you to do it in such a way, yedu, that they should know, ki yod chazos, that this is your hand. They have to know that what's taking place is God expressing himself in history, that he is in fact making certain that the evil will suffer and be removed from the world. Ato Hashem asita. It's as though the word v'yedu goes on the second part of the pasuk as well. V'yedu, that ato, they should know that ato Hashem asito, you God are the one who did this. You know what? We fight words with words. Yekarlu hema, let them curse. But ato tevarech, you're the one who's going to bless. And then when you put their cursing up against God's blessing. Kamu vayivoshu. They're going to arise
and ultimately they're going to be ashamed and embarrassed. All of their plans will come to naught, and they will come to naught. Va'artecho yismach, and your servant is going to be happy. Yildushu sotnai kulima. He had talked before about how their hatred, their arrogance, how all of that fits them like a garment, like water coming inside them, like oil in their bones. But now, Yildushu sotnai kulima, they're going to wear a different kind of a garment now. The garment that they're going to wear now is going to be the garment of shame. V'ya'atu kami il bashtam, and that they're going to be covered like with a mi'il, a coat, bashtam, all of their embarrassment in the eyes of the world. He's going to return now to something that he said at the beginning, in the very first pasuk. He said, "Lamatzeach L'David Mizmor, Elokei Tehilati, the God of my praise." One of the pshatim in Elokei Tehilati in the first pasuk is, the God whom I have praised and I will praise after you save me. I promise I'm going to praise you. So now he says at the end, pasuk 30, Odeh Hashem Ma'od B'fi, I'm going to thank God very much with my mouth. Ubitoch Rabim Ahalalu, and amongst the many, the multitude, I am going to praise him. Ki yamo yimin evyon lo shiam yishovtei nasho. Because God is the one who stands for the right hand of the destitute. Lo shiam yishovtei nasho, to save him from those who judge his soul. I didn't believe I'd be able to learn through the whole chapter. That's of course because we left out a lot of what has to be said, but for me what was important was to get through this chapter so that you should feel comfortable with it. It is so appropriate for Yom HaShoah and Durban too, and I am convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that this is exactly what the Rambam had in mind, and that this was written Beruach HaNevuah, more than Beruach HaKodesh. Beruach HaNevuah, David HaMelech saw our period in time, and he saw before his eyes many other periods in history where we were the most hated people on the face of this earth. We still are. Worse. You know what? Sometimes people send you things on emails, and then when you need it, you don't have it. A few years ago, somebody put out a list of all the medical and high-tech inventions that were created by the state of Israel. It was an awesome list. There's most probably not a single person on the face of this earth that is not indebted to the Jewish people for life, for health, for all sorts of great things that are going on in the world. So I started, sometimes I don't read, and I became a Google nut. Not too much at all, 10 minutes a day. And there were lists and lists, and then my printer broke down on me. The sucking was on my right-hand side. And the lists of contributions of the state of Israel to the world. If you ever look, it's good. I just type in contributions of Israel to the world in every major field of human endeavor. The whole world is indebted. There are so many outstanding medical discoveries. All happened here. That's what he's saying. I do good for you, and you repay me with evil. I bring blessing to the world, and you curse me. That's it. Perekuf tet. I feel much better.
think for you for sure.
If only we could spread it very far.
Okay, this is gold. This is gold. We have to put money into the meter at 11:21 or I'm going to get a ticket.
I'll keep on saying